Where is?
I'd turn it on.
Craig?
Okay. I'll follow with John. I just wanted to.
I'd like to call this meeting to order, special meeting, for the purpose of consideration, discussion of budget and estimated cost timeline and notice of intent to finance process associated with the facility improvement project, that is expansion, renovation, and new construction, and other topics as necessary. Okay. Should I just turn this over to you, and you're going to lead our discussion, right? Don't feign that tech mess.
Thank you, Mayor. I tried to want to get us together because what I was hoping to do was have one last go through of all of the material before we actually have our meeting where we vote on the funding for the project as it exists now anyway, and to try to work out whatever rough edges there were so that it may help to make the other meeting shorter. So we might as well get going then, and what I think we probably ought to do is turn it over to Arlen to give us a financial view of where we've been and where we're at and where, God willing, we're heading. Arlen.
Thanks, Jim.
My pleasure.
Actually, I didn't include this in the packet, but I'm going to give it to the council members. It was just the actual budget ordinance that you approved at the May 30th special meeting. And it actually shows, you know, what the estimates were at that point, how we came up to the $5 million at that point. And Section 4 of the ordinance is what the funding plan was at that point in time. And we had already transferred $250,000 out of the fund balance from the general fund. That's pretty much been used and more at this point. That left the balance of $4.75 million, and that would actually be the financing. But I don't want to focus on that too much, just to say that's kind of a starting point for us, because that is what we improved up to this point, at least financially. If you look what's attached to the agenda, the first page after the agenda is kind of a summary that I put together that these are estimated costs, as it says in the far right corner, which is where we probably really want to focus. Some of them we've already incurred, for example, the feasibility study that amount's already been incurred and paid for. There's contract amounts, you know, for the architectural services and project management. The meat of this, which is in the middle, the construction for both the town hall and fire station, is directly from the estimates that we received at our last meeting with the architect. And you see the different components that are the construction costs, technology, furnishings, and then there's a contingency for each one of the town hall project and also the fire station. When I look at that project-wide, it really comes out to a 4% contingency. So that's what's factored in when you look down at the bottom and see total project of $5,287,338. That is basically a 4% contingency. There's some new things in here since the last time we met. For example, relocation costs that are currently estimated at $130,000 weren't really considered when we did the last budget update in May. There's also been some developments, I guess, even here in the building with some electrical issues. I can't remember if at the May, for the May budget, whether we included a metal roof at that point in time or what the shingles, I don't recall. But I guess one of the main things is the electrical work that needs to be done and then also the relocation costs there. And when the $5 million was initially approved, they weren't sure whether there was going to be a third-party project. So if we take all those things into consideration, looks like we're looking at a minimum of about 5.3 million. I'm rounding here, but for that total project. In my opinion, that includes very little contingency. That 4% contingency, which is just the average of the amount for town hall and fire station, is only about $168,000, which really isn't a lot. I don't, again, my opinion on this size project. So what I did, the bottom two lines show some additional amounts added for contingency. One is to bring the level to a 7.5% construction contingency, and the other is a 10%. So you see that changes the estimates to a little over 5.4 billion, and then also a little over 5.5.
Without contingency, Arlen, what is the number? So I just take without the 343, it's 4.9?
Without any contingency at all?
Yeah.
So even taking out what the architect's building?
No, I'm sorry. Just this down here, we have total project.
That would be the 5,287,000.
Okay. That includes?
A 4%.
A 4% contingency.
Just on the construction costs.
Okay.
And the, just a couple of things that I had put down. Arlen had entered the relocation cost. Is that for two moves or one move?
That's for one move.
Let's to go and come back.
Okay, so that's round trip.
Yes, round trip.
Okay.
And it encompasses, as it says there, town hall and the police department.
Does that encompass storage also?
Yes.
And also the housing costs for the year.
It encompasses everything. We tried to estimate for hookup, and if there's been land fees, we don't know. If
okay, so this amount encompasses everything that we've put together in discussing the move and everything.
Yes.
All right, great. Good. That's less than what I thought. So basically what we're looking at now is the unknown, the biggest which is going to be what the bids are going to come in at. Is that
correct?
Am I looking at it right?
Yes, yes. Which impacts, I'll switch over to the next page from the agenda packet, which is the financing timeline. Again, if anybody has any other thoughts on this, know, but I guess you're trying to look at the when we're shooting for to get to the LGC for approval. To me, we need to actually approve, council needs to approve the resolution of intent to finance at the next council meeting, so on September 19th. The big question is, what's the amount that we want to put in as the not to exceed amount? And I guess that's where I need council input and direction on. So that would need to be done on September 19th meeting, in addition to setting a date and time for a public hearing. Public hearing is required in regard to this financing. The next one, update the capital project budget ordinance. We could actually wait one more meeting to do that. If we may wait one more meeting, we may have information on the contractor bids at that point to help fine tune that. Once I have the approval, you see on September 20th, then we can send out RFPs to the different banks. Because of the timing of the council meeting, the notice of the public hearing can't go into the Iowa Gazette until September 27th. So basically a week after the council approves or sets the public hearing. So then I have to give, I believe, 10 days, that's the 10 days notice. So moving down the timeline, there's also another requirement that was adopted as a state statute back in 2011, which hasn't applied to us up to this point because we haven't financed anything in excess of $1 million, which that's what this requirement is. My understanding is just informational report, and I do have information that I got from the LGC analyst that kind of gave me the format, so I think it's something. to do that. I was told that, well, the requirement is at least 45 days before the application is going to be reviewed by the LGC. I was instructed that we may go more like 60 days. So that's how we came up to September 29th. At that point, we'd be including an amount, which is, again, that would be our not-to-exceed amount for the financing. Next, October 3rd would be the due dates for the financing proposals. I gave 2 weeks from the date that I mapped those out. Again, taking into account the 10-day requirement once the notice of public hearing is published, figured around October 9th, give or take. There's flexibility on, especially that date, what works for everybody, but to have a public hearing regarding the financing. The next item I just put in here isn't necessarily related to the financing, but I think it was the date that was mentioned as the contractor votes may be due or received October 17th, which could be important because if we submit the application to the LGC around October 23rd, we could actually fine-tune our amount. Even though our public hearing and our intent to finance was not to exceed, I would hope that whatever we pick, that what we actually need to finance will be a little bit less than that. Also in there, October 17th, we have a recommendation to cancel from financing, so that on the RFPs that we received. The next thing, because of the timing of all of this, the fiscal year has ended, the audit's in progress. We have to have it finalized and reported to the LGC on or before November 15th in order for us to get on the agenda for the December 5th LGC meeting. And I would hope that that would happen. Hopefully there's no issues with the audit. We could have a potential issue already with timing, depending on what happens with weather concerns. The auditors are supposed to be here next week. But they've already raised that issue that if there's issues with weather, also not going to be here. So. And then finally would be the actual approval at the LGC meeting on Saturday. So it's kind of a tight timeline, so that's the one reason that we really need to do this resolution of intent to finance at the next council meeting.
So we need to set a number on the 19th of not to exceed, but it can be modified in October.
It can't be increased, though.
Can't be increased, it can be brought down.
It can be brought down, yes.
And that's not an authorization for changes, that is an authorization just for
financing,
available finance.
Correct. And I would really need that almost before the 19th so that we can prepare a resolution.
It's a decision we really need to make tonight so you can go on and do the resolution and do all those forms that have to be ready.
It's not setting the budget for the project, it's setting what's the maximum amount that we would want to finance, assuming that, taking into account, I guess, contingencies, I guess, and potential bids coming in higher than the estimates at this point.
And October 17th is the last date for them to get contract bids or contractor bids into us?
Well, yes, sir. They will release the plant package middle of September. And then they will actually turn them in not a minute before the designated time on that day. They'll sit in the parking lot, fill in their last number from the delivery.
And then we take whatever amount of time we need in order to pick one of them, if all the numbers are agreeable. If the numbers aren't agreeable, we have to renegotiate with them?
You're a public agency, so you're bound by... you have to take the lowest responsible bid, and typically that translates to the guy who has the least amount of dollars on the table. If that bid is within our budget is a matter of deciding to move forward or not. If the numbers are above our budget, then we can certainly enter into conversations with the lowest bidder as to where our potential savings beyond anything that we have already isolated in the bid package. In the bid package itself, we will have a list of items of bid alternate deducts or adds, depending on how we write the verbiage, that on bid day we will understand that if we have a metal roof, it's X, if we have a shingle roof, it's Y, and we'll have what potential savings would be involved there. Same thing with some of the finishes in the building. We will also isolate, we have three generators on the building, isolate the cost of those so that we can understand better what that cost will be. But there's not a lot of add alternates or deductive alternates for the project, in that there are not a lot of, for lack of a better way to describe it, low-hanging fruit. There are not a lot of extra bells and whistles in the package.
Could I ask you about that? Because in thinking about whether or not there is anything that we could do about without, and this also comes in, where would what I'm going to ask you come in the project, at the beginning, at the end, or whatever? And that is, tearing down this wall and building a bigger council room. I mean, that would be wonderful. But frankly, you can see, except when somebody retires, somebody's being sworn in, or somebody's having a party, very seldom do we have more people than we have here tonight. Most of the time, even fewer. Is that something that could be put off later in the project so that if something, God forbid, happens and we were way over budget and needed to say no to something, could you consider this a low-hanging fruit?
Not necessarily. It could be done as a remove it from the project, but it would need considerable modification of how we've tied the buildings together, and the way that the heating and air conditioning of the buildings has had to be reconfigured. I would say to err on the side of caution, I guess, is we bid the project as it's detailed. The thing about bid day, this is our best estimate of where it will be. Will we be $500,000 low? No, I don't think so. But when we get our bids, then we'll actually have real numbers that work with. And if we need to do that level of what I'll call surgery, then we can sit down with the low bidder and walk through that process of what would be involved in removing this. It's not quite as easy to say if the new room is 1,000 square feet, that it's $200 a square foot, so therefore it's $200,000. It really doesn't translate quite that cleanly because you still have to do modifications to the current design as well as egress and so forth.
And all these windows need to be replaced.
Yes. And right now, we've not to get too far in the weeds, but I have a tendency to do that. We've replaced all the windows in the room. They're all impact resistant windows. Which are about twice as much as a standard window. But if we don't use the impact resistant, then you're back to putting shutters of some sort. And they have a cost as well. We've looked at the building for generators, and the fire station certainly has to have a standalone generator. And we looked at this building and the police station and said, okay, we need emergency power for there. And we tried to do it with one generator. But because this building is 120 volt power source, single phase, to get a generator of the size that we needed became a custom generator. So it was cheaper to put two separate generators in. Now you could certainly have conversations, okay, we only want to generate power for the police and not town hall, but at this point we made sense to do the whole facility. other pieces as we got deeper into peeling the layers of the onion back, so to speak, we discovered that the existing electrical system in the police and fire department area was seriously challenged in some of the issues that were there. And whether it be rust or just lack of code compliance and some of the things that were there, our engineer says, I can't re-energize this system and put my seal on there and say it's good. So we've had to revisit that electrical system and redesign. Same thing with some of the heating and air conditioning. While you got it, it was marginal in some of the spaces. So we went back and had to resize a number of the units within the existing buildings that we hadn't originally anticipated doing. So there were several things that we ran into in the process that took away some of our early contingency. If you think back to some of the early budgets, I think we were carrying about a 10% design budget for our contingency and a 10% owner contingency. And we always know that the design contingency is to try to cover those things that we discover along the way. It's just the magnitude of them were a little bigger than anticipated. As far as the overall contingency for construction, we do a lot of state construction work for the state of North Carolina. And on new facilities, they pretty much mandate that we carry a 5% construction contingency on new work, and 3% on new and 5% on old. So that's what we paired it down. Is it good to have extra contingency, especially what Arlen's talking about? You're trying to get financing approved, and that doesn't mean you've spent the money. It means that you were authorized to and had to. It gives you a safety net. And it's still the conversation to come of, well, we don't want to spend that money. How do we whittle it down? So it doesn't take that away from you.
And one other item, correct me if I'm wrong, both of you guys, but if we have people who say that we don't need a new fire station or a new police station or whatever, council has already been put on record that the electrical facilities are substandard in those buildings. So we literally can't put our police and firemen back in those buildings, or they're still in them, but we can't put them in without making that right. So if we don't put any roofs or windows or anything like that in, we're going to be tearing both those buildings apart to rewire them.
Based on the things that you mentioned that are potential, what percent would you say you have of latitude? You have a contingency fund, and you mentioned the roof. You mentioned maybe potential things on generators. Maybe there's potential things on the airflow systems you could probably buy a train system, or you could probably buy the world's best system. So my thought is what is the latitude that we would have, you think, on making changes based on what's before us today, which is at about $5.2 million?
You may have about $150,000.
Thank you.
Before you start trying to...
To change anything else. So there's about $150,000 there.
And we don't know, we're trying to go as heavy as we can into furniture and stuff like that, so yeah. It may be a nominal amount, but there'll be some savings there, hopefully.
So the opportunity amounts, we got about 150, I don't want to put words in any amounts, we got about 150 there, and we've got the contingency amounts at the state mandated. Anyway, contingencies are 65.4 and 103.
What about the handling system in the fire station for the vehicles? What are the price ranges for the equipment that's adequate?
Each bay is about $10,000 per the exhaust system. It's about $10,000 per bay. So within 4 days, $40,000 for those exhaust systems. And there's some conversation about could we, if the money's not there to do that, use some type of mechanical exhaust system and a louver system.
Yeah, and the roof.
And do that type of system, which would be probably a fourth of that expense.
And you also suck whatever heat or AC there is in that room out.
Yes. Yeah. You remove that fan is runs indiscriminately as it comes on and it exhausts the entire space.
Yeah.
As opposed to the climate vent system, it actually is plugged into the truck, and when they crank it up, it exhausts it out, and they drive out the door, and it cuts it off.
So we then risk an increase in utility cost, which over the next 20 years could more than cover the $10,000 per day.
Consideration of staff comfort conditions, and you're putting diesel fumes and exhaust inside the bays, and if they left the door open to the day room or the business side, you have that mixing of air.
And that's the problem we already have in the existing one. That
we also
don't need to.
Longevity, because when you're exhausting out, you're making that air up, and like in the last month and 30 days of August, you know what you'd be pulling in a cure. It'd be very hot, humid, salty air into the bags.
You know, we really have two things that we should consider. We're trying to build a facility that's going to serve this town until 2045, 2050. I don't think we should be taking it to the bone or doing things that are probably not smart in the long term. And then the other, so that's one thing for our mind. And then the other thing for our mind is our commitment at sticking around that $5 million range. I got $318,000 of play there. Just adding everything up, it looks like to me. And I know that's not a number for concrete. 318 from the 5.2 is 4.9. I'm just trying to do the math then. I'll tell you, is David on the phone?
Yeah,
David, I don't know if you have any comments you would like to make. I know you've got a lot of experience in this area.
Well, so one, great presentation by Arlen and the project team. I think I agree with Emily. Her question was spot on about, okay, if we start looking to cut, and I think I like the response from the project team that wait until you see the bid before you decide to do that. If you want to do that, there's something in there. I think the right thing for the council, from my view, is still, you know, we've all independently talked to the department heads, evaluated the situation, and we realize we're in the right place. The issue is we got to see better numbers, right? And I think, Harlan, I understand your point that we need to go off with, you know, we don't want to have to go back to them to mess up your timing. So from my standpoint, I'm supportive of you asking more than you think you are. But to the project team, I think the council, at least my message, I can't speak for the other four members, is, you know, we gave you guys a pretty hard stop of around $5 million. We understand the contingency issues, but we want to be very close to that. And if we're not, we're going to start weaning some stuff out, so give us some options. And I think the project team, at least from what I heard, understands that it's going to bring in, here's the things we can cut out. Recognize, project team, that if you're way over, the council is at least one vote, at least myself, is going to push back on you guys and say, okay, if you're saying 5 million don't do it, 5.1, 5.2, okay, then where are our options? Because we want to meet all of the legally required mandates, right? So there's all these requirements that are on us for the fire department, the police department, and even the admin section. And then there's all these things that the department heads have pushed council, which we agree with, to help them serve the citizens for 25 to 40 years. We want to do all those things, but we recognize the citizens to do this, there's only one way to pay for it, right? And that's with taxes, and so the citizens aren't just, hey, give us here, spend all the money you got to. So I think from my standpoint, it's like, okay, put it out the bid, let's see what we got. Arlen, go ahead and tell them you need a large number so we don't have to go back to them again, because we don't want to do that again. But if we get into the bids are all coming in high, we got to understand options. At least that's where I am. And I think, you know, Arlen, you're doing exactly the right thing, so we don't get in this cycle with the state. And Project Team, you're doing exactly the right thing and telling us, look, we caution you guys, your eyes are real big, but you can't pay for everything you want. Okay, tell us which thing so we can make good decisions. I think the council is very supportive of, or at least I'm supportive of, I'm sorry I keep saying the council, but conversations outside these meetings, it seems like we're supportive of making a big investment for the future of the town, but there is a limit, and everybody needs to know that up front. Is that sort of what the rest of you guys feel? That's where I'm at anyway, right?
Yeah,
I agree.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty much the gist of what we've been talking either publicly or amongst ourselves since this began. I mean, everything that we obviously, like Craig said, safety's first. We want anything that's built has to be safe for the people that are working in it, and also to help the people that are working in it serve the rest of the town. Anything else to add, David?
No, you guys are good.
Okay.
Joe, never heard from him yet.
It's about all making my beard go even more red. I mean, we got kind of attached to the 5 million number. And the more as that pops up, induces a little bit more stress about all this. I definitely think we need to have a contingency. I don't know how much down here. It's a big decision.
Personally, I'm willing to go over the five.
I'd go over the five.
Especially depending on what the project is and knowing what happens if we don't.
I mean, I'm willing to have finance directed to get more than five, but I am not at a point where I'm willing to say we are going to do more than five.
Yes.
But remember, the project cost has never really changed.
Right.
It's been the additional stuff mm-hmm. that keeps coming in. So.
And this really isn't to approve the project budget. This is just to kind of start the whole second process of financing and set that limit so that if there is some increases along the way, that we've given ourselves some flexibility.
So it's a matter of what's that number that at very least is going to be more than enough, but not under what we need or may need.
Arlen, do you have a particular recommendation? 5.5 or 6 million?
Well, one, I don't think I'd go to 6 million. We've already put $250,000 of cash. And I don't want to cloudy the whole thing here, but we could actually put some more in if we need be. But I think the max, in my opinion, would be the 5.5.
Okay.
Or the not to exceed amount.
there's an element of this, and I always try to get in my mind how it fits. There's an element of this that goes to another fund, an enterprise fund, right?
Right, but it,
there's. Do we still have to make accommodations for that in our borrowing?
The way I've looked at that, we should have sufficient capacity there initially to pay for the debt service, which would be about 12%.
Our debt service is so low, we don't begin to come close to what the state would allow, and God forbid we ever should.
So. But it's still at the point where whatever portion goes to the general fund, which is about 88% of this, mm-hmm. there's only one way to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't have the capacity right now to just say, well, we're going to take on a $500,000 debt payment and not raise taxes to pretty much cover the whole thing.
I need to ask you this, Arlen. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it appears to me, as I try to put the math together in my head, that if we're at 5.5 and there's 12 in an enterprise fund and there's 3.18 and that 3.18 is actually beyond some of, well, it's a portion of the 10. I mean, it sounds to me like we have enough wiggle room for even covering potential mistakes.
Yes.
It would seem to, because it would seem that the contingency is, we're almost closer to 20%.
We got to remember, too, with the contingency is we want that for construction as things progress, that we tear open this wall and it's like, oh, guess what we found here.
If this part of the town hall, there's a lot
the Indian burial grounds.
Modification, and there will be something that goes, we got to deal with this.
So that's why, I mean, you don't want to plan on using that just in the potential difference between our estimates now and what it's actually submitted.
Yeah.
So even if you were to say, again, not pushing 5.5, let's say you said not to exceed 5.5, and in the end you borrow $5 million anyway.
Yeah.
That's all you need, because we decide when the bids come in where we're estimated, a little lower. We decide to put some additional fund balance into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's ways that we don't necessarily, I'm not saying we're going to borrow $5.5 million. It gives us the flexibility to go that high if for whatever reason it's determined we need to do that.
Yeah. I guess I'm just trying to do a mental zero base thing that says at that level, I am highly likely to be able to hit my $4.95 million number. Based on what I think is the
I don't think you're ever, you'll ever hit your 5 million number
for
the project in total, because we've added things since that number was set. Just 130,000 in relocation wasn't considered in that initial 5 million. Third party mm-hmm. project management wasn't considered in that initial 5 million. So right there is, you know, $200,000
plus. It's a cost that we're incurring every single day.
So even if you wanted to, I set it through out 5.5 million, well then, set your not to exceed at 5.2 or 5.3. And if something changes, you have some additional capacity of taking fund balance.
Okay.
We have, my estimate is we're probably at about 2.7 million of what's considered unassigned fund balance. Basically available for any use. As we know, we don't want to deplete that too far, but we do have some that we can use there.
Okay, the most intelligent individual in the room relative to our finance structure said it's 5.5. I guess I'm okay with it.
David?
Yeah, well, I think we got to wait to see what the bids are, right? So,
no, we can't wait.
We can't.
No.
No, but I'm saying I support Arlen going for the number he recommended based on what he knows.
Okay.
I think we wait until we see what the bids are before we decide this is the number. And if we
pull
stuff out, just like Emily suggested, there are things in the project that I really think the project team needs to make sure they quantify them, how much you save. Because I hear their point about you don't really save that much on making this room smaller because of all the other things. That's true to a point, but there still are savings, and we need to quantify that. So I really like what the project team said about is, look, there's going to be adders and subtractors if you take stuff out. If they don't identify them the first time around, they're going to have to identify them again, so they should put them in the bids, right? And then the council can say, you know what? We're not going to expand the council room. The council room's council room. And yeah, you're right. It's smarter to buy hurricane windows, but we've been putting shutters on windows since the town was founded, so we're going to keep doing that. Some of these guys know how to do that. So I appreciate what the project team's saying. I agree with them, but they have to clearly identify the adders. And there's a lot of them. This is a big project. There's a lot of adders in there. So, you know, Arlen's doing exactly what the fine. If I was in his place, I would do that. If I was in the project team's place, I would do that. I'm in the leadership place with you guys, and what I would say is, you guys are doing the right thing, keep doing that, but make sure you give the leadership team the information we need, because, you know, we've told multiple people, we have a number that's in our head. If we got to go over it, we may go over it, the council may do that, but you need to tell us how to get there, right? And so, that's a challenge. That's part of being on the project team, right, since I've been on both sides. But, you know, project team, bring us back. Hey, you know, this is the cost for this. This is the cost for this. You mentioned two perfect things, right? Metal roof versus shingles and hurricane windows versus non-hurricane windows. There's some things that are non-deliverable. You have to fix the electrical system. It has to be up to the code. That's a fact. We have to do that. We know about that. We have to do it, right? But just like there's lots of options that make a huge difference, and we want to do the best thing for the town. The best thing is not the most expensive thing, and it's not the cheapest thing. It's in between. And so the project, you know, project team, project manager, architect, department head, you guys have to be open to, okay, what fits in the budget, right? And I think we still can do a lot of great stuff, so it's not like it's a whole all stop, but it's a okay, challenge all your assumptions and just let us know. And lead us to the right answer. That's what we're asking. So, you know, Arlen, you're down. Move forward. Don't let us go back twice to the state. Project team, identify clearly all the cost points so we can make a good decision and get the bids out there and generate some interest. I'm concerned we don't have enough bidders because we're at the end of the county and everyone's busy. So, that's my concern. Let's get it out there and see what we've got and then make any decisions. Sorry for talking so long. I've been sitting here quietly.
Well, Dave, I feel good about our bidders so far. I keep comparing this to the county's new library at Pine Valley, which is the same size, although they would like to have an extra 5,000 square feet, but basically the same size and the same price. Right. And they have fewer bidders than we do. I'm feeling really good about the number we have and their qualifications from what our architect has said.
Okay. Kind of an off-the-wall question. We got a storm coming. If the storm is reasonably close to us, what's the chance of not having anybody bid? Because they got bigger and better things.
That's a strong possibility. If the bidders that are on the list right now are all pretty localized, if there are two of them that are...
Well, that's why I said just here rather than Florida, head down to Florida.
Clancy has a firm in Florida. They operate out of Florida. That's a hard one to answer.
Well,
the bigger challenge, as I see it, if we're already going to have some construction inflation costs because of Houston, that there's just a lot. Things like plywood, you can track them when you have these disasters. They prices shoot.
Drywall.
The type of contractors that you all have pre-qualified for this project, I think is an excellent list as well. They're not storm chasers. They're capital folks, and so I don't think they would look at it as an either or.
Okay. Thank you.
It might be the hit year.
Right. And that would change dynamics from a lot of performance. That would change dynamics maybe from the town's perspective. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe insurance money available. Maybe FEMA money available.
Once they mobilize in Cary Beach, maybe they can do the whole town.
But I think from this perspective of your bids, that is the one, you know, our market is shifting, our construction market without any hurricanes is in a shift that we've not seen somewhat for 10 years, you know, we become out of recession, it comes. I think everybody will feel better when we get hard bids. And the fire station standalone, I pulled historical numbers, I looked at the plans, but I think the budget the team has designed is solid. I'd be shocked if that isn't met on bid day. The big unknown in my mind is because it's so hard to quantify is town hall. I mean, I think we'll know when we get those bids. And the team has talked about, going back to Mayor's, to your point, is those two numbers, since they've been tracked as budgetary numbers all along, having those two numbers as separate numbers, as our designers have said, that will help us in our analysis to know where we need to start doing the surgery. Yeah, because there's such, even from a standpoint of contingency, there's such very different projects.
Okay.
Kate, comment on the amount?
I'm ready to make a motion.
You want to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we go 5-5 for the amount.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Arlen, that's...
So that's what I would put together for council for the September 19th.
Yes. Put that together up through October 17th. And then if the bids come in and it is a huge disaster, we'll definitely be talking about whether we do away with doing the fire station and only do town hall.
I say hold off on it changing revising the actual capital project budget. And you know, this just gives some flexibility on so we can do the first steps in finance.
Okay. So you're going to begin the process at the 5-5, and we're not going to change capital budget yet.
Correct. Does
that's my thought anyway.
Does anybody else have anything that they want to bring up regarding the project, as long as we're all together? Yes, ma'am.
There's just one wrinkle, and that's relocating staff. I don't want to start spending funds to relocate staff. If we're going to find out that we're not going to do some of the project, I'm not quite sure. I'd like council's authority to move forward with relocating and spending the funds.
Now, to me, maybe it's because I've been closer than everybody else has been discussing this. I'm more than willing to do that for the simple reason of not doing it puts off rental and starting to move the housing towards here so that it can be set up, as opposed to rushing to do it and possibly still having furniture and or people in here while construction may be trying to start. I think that it would be cheaper to tell them to go ahead, since we know we're going to go ahead anyway. If we were to say don't touch council chambers, I think it's still to our advantage to move everybody out.
And we may still,
because I can't imagine everybody jammed in here while they're tearing the rest of the building apart.
We're going to build the fire station first, so we can get the fire.
Well, we don't really know simultaneously.
No, it was my understanding that this portion and the fire station could go up at the same time. Only the police and the old fire station that would be set back.
Okay, that makes sense to me. You could work the administrative area, you can start the work. So,
what was it called, the demarcation line?
The firewall at the fire station right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
With that, that allows all the new outside walls, all the overhead work to proceed in an unoccupied space, which staff worked very diligently on making that a possibility, because quite frankly, I can't translate it to dollars, but it would be looked at from a contract standpoint, but very, very challenging life safety challenge to have maintained public access to these buildings.
Okay. I mean, based on the fact that there'd be work simultaneously, that makes sense to give her approval to get going on that, to me.
Sure.
Any other comments or questions?
It's all yours now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys for being here. We have a couple of other issues we have to deal with. One, I wish John were here tonight, but he attended the meeting the other day with Matsu and our colonel from
do
D.C.
Do we want to pause for a second so they can go if they want?
Oh, you're welcome to stay. We'd love for you to tell us what to do with Matsu and Sunny Point.
Yeah, but you wouldn't like my answer.
Might be above my favorite.
It's definitely above ours.
And thank you.
Thank you
so much for being here. Thanks, Dave. Thank you.
We'll do our best to try to toe the line.
Safe trip home.
Thanks.
Okay, as you know, Carolina Beach, Curie Beach, New Hanover County, Brunswick County, Southport, Boiling Springs might be one or two other towns added into that from Brunswick County will be entering in a 18-month project to develop a land use plan based on some regulations from Matsu and the federal government and Department of Defense for their properties. John attended the meeting the other day, and it was sort of what we dealt with the first time several months ago, only maybe worse. There are some people we need to assign to things, or at least talk about doing it. One, the main committee that will be meeting the majority of the time and doing the planning while working with their elected officials and all, are the planning staff from each one of those government entities. So John is that person, like it or not. You may want to work closely with him to see if he's ill or at a conference or something, somebody who knows what he's doing would need to go in his place. And as if someone on the planning board wants to be an alternate, they probably should go to every meeting with him so they know what's going on. Okay.
Now, help me out here. This is a land use plan for the government land?
Yeah,
or?
No, for us because of the government land. Let me explain. Imposed by the government. This has been done for almost every military base in the country. It's been done for Camp Lejeune, Sunny Point, Seymour, Johnson. It's been done twice for Fort Bragg. And now we are, as far as I know, the last ones left in the state where this has to be done. And it is, for example, I talked to some of the officials over in Jacksonville, and they said they, in their plan, they were required to have 100-foot construction limit. Like we have 35 feet, they're required to have 100 because of the fly zone, that they do not want, you know, risk of flying into any of the buildings or anything like that. One of the things, first of all, the Council of Government is heading this, but we'll be selecting a consultant to actually do the plan, work with us and do the plan. Their staff won't be doing the plan. But when they first met, Alan Sarkin over there, one of his biggest impressions was that all of us will be required to have a 35-foot height limit. And he didn't. The federal government. That
they're not going to say that all the towns around Sunny Point are going to have a 35-foot height limit.
That was one of the colonel from DC. That was one of the examples that he gave, and of course we already have that, but And it's not all of Carolina Beach. It's, you know, whatever areas, any of their circles as far as blast zone would cover, they would have to do it. Boiling Springs would have to do it. Southport, I think, already has a height limit over there. They have bigger considerations across the river because they have rails over there that their trains use to get their munitions in and out of town, and they, from talking to like Havelock and Jacksonville, they don't want developments built in or near those rail lines, and there may already be developers who own that land and want to build on it. And as Craig has pointed out, there's federal money available to reimburse those developers if that becomes an issue and they're not allowed to build on it. One of our considerations now is not just the blast zone from Sunny Point, but also the ships. And because they come a lot closer to us than what may be buried over there.
A lot taller than 35 feet.
So that's that could take 12 to 18 months to write this land use plan. And like I said, the planners for each one of the towns will be the main people that they'll be working with. And then they'll have a group of an elected official from each town to approve what the planning officials recommend and make different decisions about how it goes along. I know Joseph had asked to be a representative on there. I asked about whether they would be meeting at night or during the day, and he said, frankly, it will be up that committee to make that decision. So if you would like to go to the first one and see how that works out.
Sure.
And if you want...
Do you have a time and location?
No. They just had this meeting Thursday. And they may have another... They may have another meeting this Thursday, or they may not have another meeting till December. It's very unpredictable, and we need to stay on the staff at the COG to give us better notice than what they've been doing so far. If you want an alternate, we can also discuss that, but I would suggest you go to the first meeting, sure, see how it works out, and come back and tell us what happens, okay? Okay. David, at one point, Alan, in one of his emails, said that they would have a committee of public works officials. But John said from their discussions the other day, the people who were there representing the towns and counties said that they really didn't see the necessity for that because they were talking about just certain issues that they might have questions from the public works officials, like, you know, our infrastructure. And so I think they decided right now to hold off on actually having a committee and just knowing who to contact. So wanted to be sure to ask you, would you like for that contact to be Sunny, or would you like for it to be you? Or we
it
could
should be Sunny with me as a backup.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, it should be the department head, but I definitely want to be the backup. And I think I'm surprised that the town said that was okay, because Carolina Beach and us are not the only ones with public works infrastructure in the buffer zone. It's across the river as well.
Oh, yeah. All of them. No, there's no surprise. They're the same way. They're the all of the people from the towns over there and over here and our county representatives have really agreed on everything they've been talking about so far. So Southport and Boiling Springs and all, they're right in there with us. And I will tell you, and yes, I'm going on record to say this, at the first meeting and at the meeting on Thursday, the people representing the towns, I'm not sure about the two counties, but representing all the towns, said their biggest concern about this is lack of communication with Sunny Point, and that would have to improve in order to come to any kind of agreement. So that was taken back to D.C. by the first colonel. Now we have a new colonel who's a woman, as a matter of fact, and so hopefully she will remember that also. It was emphasized, and I was surprised at the first meeting, it was emphasized stronger by the people over there from Southport and Boiling mm-hmm. Springs.
Mayor Frank?
Okay.
Do you see this as a set of regulations that the town will have to comply with after they look at what we have? I mean, Curie Beach has a 2006 land use plan.
Yeah.
It needs to be updated, but we are not willing to
it's hire. About 10 years out of date, yeah.
Anyway,
no,
where
it's
I'm
not
headed,
like
though.
It's not like our land use plan
right.
at all. What it is what Matsu feels like they need because of those blast zones in order to protect life and property over here, and building buildings that could easily be pushed into the ocean or destroyed because of their height. I think that's one of their concerns. Now, we were told from the beginning that this would be a very, very cooperative venture, that we could present what we need and want, like maybe a multi-purpose path or parking, and they could present what they need and that we could cooperatively agree on things.
And guess who pays for their report?
The taxpayer.
Well, 90% of it is being paid for by the federal government, and then we have about $25,000 that collectively we need to pay, and that's another thing that committee is supposed to talk about, is how that will be paid. It needs to be paid per capita.
They're going to put restrictions on this, and they want us to pay for it?
Well, 10% of it.
No, the way
it's a $300,000 plan. We're paying 10%. The federal government
we're
is
paying
100%. No. Well, as taxpayers, we're paying 100%. But from the town's budget, the feds are paying 90%.
So we're being taxed twice.
We'll be asked to pay, and it's less than $300,000. But we'll be asked to pay the other 10%, and so
it can be
get to work with them and help decide how he will be charged.
Plan for $300,000.
Well, this is what
that's
they've
less
been
than
paying.
One guy working full time.
This is what they have been paying around the country. This is not our land use plan, my dear. This is much simpler.
But we have a few meetings.
Much, much simpler.
A group of people go off and write a plan for 18 months. It's going to cost a heck of a lot more than $300K.
Well, we're hoping it'll be more like 12.
We've got...
it might be a half a man at your salary.
The way that I came away from that meeting was there were about 10 municipalities that would need to be talked to. It's a Department of Defense study. It's not a Matsu study. The Department of Defense right, is looking at, Matsu has restrictions and requirements based on what they do for the federal government. Those are probably going to stand. We have some things we would like to do. If there are areas where Matsu has drawn a hard line and it impacts the town in cost, the Department of Defense is willing to talk to us about what would it take to maybe remedy what we lose and do it somewhere else. Or there are areas where we may wish to do something and Matsu can look at it and say, well, we really don't have a hard line there, so maybe we can allow you to do it instead of this, here's how it is, right? So I came away from it that, look, it's cooperative. We're not going to win everything we want. If they probably are going to win what they want, but we may get compensation for it.
Well, where's the
and one of the
Department
things,
of Defense installations and logistics?
And what?
Where's the colonel from?
D.C.
Washington.
Well, that's a big place.
Yeah. Which she's from the Department of Defense. She's their economic development coordinator for the Department of Defense. Okay. The other thing is, the rest of the island down here has also impacted this, and after much gashing of teeth and finally got called to communicate with Susie Hamilton because of the new building going up with Fort Fisher down here, the expansion of on the roof and above of the aquarium down here, the need for the aquarium to have additional parking, and Sunny Point will not give on that. So fortunately, one of the things that, I've worked to come out of this is that the Department of Cultural Resources will be involved. And also they've decided to involve DOT and the port down here in case they have some questions or issues. But right now, Joseph's going to, if it's okay with you guys, Joseph's going to go to the first elected officials meeting that they have, and I'll pass your name and information on to them. They will contact Sonny and David on anything that deals with public works, and John Batson will be our main representative on planning with backup from the planning board.
Happy to help.
Okay, any other questions about that? Comments? Okay. You received a message this week that I sent you from Ruth Smith having to do with the state's program to fund beach nourishment. Basically, all that is what was passed in the House and Senate before they left was to have a program set up to fund beach nourishment. The department responsible for it agreed this week to, or last week, to set up a program to do that. The House and Senate accepted that report and are all very happy. And there is not one single penny appropriated to it. And they might go back in the short session, but probably not. It could be 2019 before they really start tackling the issue of how much money we're talking about. So while the program is there, the money is not there and may not be for at least another 2 years. So
there's an intent for dollar for dollar, but there's no mechanism identified to put that their dollar in it yet.
Right. Right, and I asked about that and was told, well, it's not needed right now anyway. So, well, it's not needed for New Hanover County right now, but we have towns up and down the coast that are trying to do beach nourishment now. They'll be trying to do it next year and the year after, and they desperately need some help. So I'm sorry it's being put off, but...
Well, speaking of
that,
you've seen our beach on the south end.
See what? No, I was told about it and tried to get John to talk to the news media, but he refused to. So, I saw the pictures you had a while ago. Guy called me from WWAY, and one of their reporters saw it and was complaining. And he thought they were talking about the Riggins. Is it the Riggins or Ocean Dunes or both?
From what I understand, the girlfriend of somebody at WAY was down here, saw the condition of the beach, and that started the dominoes that they got down here.
Okay.
And I spoke at Ocean Dunes, the manager of the complex did not want to go on camera with them. They gave them my number, they had not called me. And I know what I shared with you earlier, that evidently ABC didn't require a lot of information. They just put it out on their own.
Okay. I don't know. You guys might watch the 11 o'clock news and see what happens, but the town did not talk to, nobody from the town talked with them either.
Okay, so. That's just fascinating. Nobody's from Ocean Dunes. And they're saying that Ocean Dunes, the town, and the Corps of Engineers have gotten together and they have a plan to address the issue. But nobody here knows about it.
Right.
And I doubt if they were out there today trying to decide what to
and
do. So.
They attend Port Beach and Waterway, and it hasn't come up
there.
There's an article on the page right now.
I haven't heard a word from Layton, and I know that Layton would be.
I doubt if Layton knows that.
Well, that's the point. It's not very good for us to hear things from the newspaper.
WWAY.
I'm sorry, from television.
Right, from the media.
False news media.
So.
I'm sorry, what exactly is the story from WWAY that I don't understand?
My understanding is that they believe that town officials and the Army Corps of Engineers have looked at the problems at the south end of our beach and have agreed to put sand on it.
And I assure you,
none of us know anything about it.
No town official has told them that. I can guarantee you nobody from the Corps of Engineers has told them that. I was told by the guy who called from WWAY that, yeah, somebody's girlfriend whose boyfriend works at WWAY was walking down the beach and saw all this erosion, and WWAY thought it was the Riggins. They didn't even know what it was or where it was, and they wanted to know what he said to me, what's the deal?
The entire story is seven sentences long. The Army Corps of Engineers has a contract with Curry Beach to replace sand lost by storms every 3 years. However, Ocean Dunes Complex historically has not received any of that sand. We reached out to the town of Curry Beach and representatives from Ocean Dunes at Fort Fisher. Neither side wanted to speak on camera. We'll continue to investigate.
Yeah,
look
at it all now, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Except, here's somebody from Ocean Dunes that wrote me when I came here.
Yeah.
To tell me that I just heard on ABC News that OD representatives, KP town officials, and the Army Corps of Engineers are in talks to get some beach renourishment down to OD. This was on ABC News at 6 o'clock or thereabouts.
That we are going to do it?
That you're in talks to make it happen.
No.
Wow, you're really living fake news. How do you like that?
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I've got it up now on the internet. You want me to just comment online and say, from the town council, who the fuck did you talk to?
Yes. I'll write that if you want.
This has been recorded, sir.
And you can say from the board of directors of OD, who did you talk to?
And I apologize, Nancy, so that one I'm sure Willard will put in, but it's like,
do not spell that out.
So basically, we're upset that a local news affiliate put online that they reached out to us and no one commented, but we don't know who they reached out to, or we...
No, we're not upset about that at all. They reached out to John, he refused. They reached out to me. I was not on the island and could not respond and said, go back and talk to John Batson and tell him the mayor said it's okay for him to talk, and he refused. So there was no comment from the town, no comment from Ocean Dunes. They had, at first, okay, they had the location wrong. And I don't know where they got the Corps of Engineers stuff. I think they just made that up. I don't think we're upset about it at all, except it's just
so
regular,
what if we tell the truth,
no news.
We're not allowed by environmentalists to put sand on the south part of the beach.
That's not what they asked. That's not what they asked.
That's what their story says.
Yeah, but that is not what they asked me or John, either one. The guy just said, you know, I have a complaint about the erosion at the end of the beach right there beside Fort Fisher. What's the deal on that? Those were his words.
So the deal is we're not allowed.
And I'm going, I don't, well, no, he's talking about the Riggins. And this wasn't
okay,
even... He did, and so I said, no, I don't, you know, I haven't even seen it. I'm not going to talk about something I don't know anything about. So he did not ask, he did not say, are you putting sand on there? He did not ask, are you working with the Corps of Engineers? He didn't ask any of the questions that he put in the story. He just made it up.
Well,
so,
I don't see any questions. He said, however, the Ocean Dunes Complex historically has not received any of that sand.
Well, if they come back again and ask what the truth is, we could say that. But frankly, I think it's a dead issue because it's wrong.
So no one on council is going to address the media request?
I don't think we should.
Okay.
Now, if the Corps of Engineers wants to call them and answer it, that's fine. I ask Bill back here to please.
If they call me, or I'll tell them what I know.
Please go to the.
I'll modify what David said, but it's about the same message.
Well, please go to your people at Ocean Dunes and tell them everything that was reported is not true, and they never asked the right questions, and they were talking to me about the Riggins, not you guys. So.
Well, so one, Emily, what I'm reading online is exactly true, and two, there's a reason why it's true, and the town knows what that reason is.
What
the reason is that the Coquina Rock in front of the southern part of Ocean Dunes and the Riggins prevents us from putting beach re-nourishment over it.
Because
the environmental said we can't cover it.
Yeah, but Bill said that it says in the report that we're working with the Corps of Engineers to put sand down there.
It says the Army Corps of Engineers has a contract with Trinity to replace sand lost by storms every 3 years.
No, there's more somewhere.
I'm just reading what's on
that's just in the article.
Right now.
I would just
fill you in. No contract. History issue.
In about 5 years ago when we had Sandy, and I was president of the board at the time, we had to rebuild the entire dunes, and we had permission to truck in sand, and that went over that Coquina Rock, and we didn't break any rocks.
The issue with the Coquina Rock, though, is when you put sand over the beach and you have the tidal action, the Coquina does not allow the sand to hold
adhere
onto
to
the sand
suction.
And adhere. It slides off.
If you want to get the real culprit, the Corps needs to be there and take that crap they put in the water out. They changed the entire flow when they put those rocks there and set it out there so they could make better beach at the other side of it. Because it screwed us up completely.
It's also the animals that inhabit the Coquina Rock.
Kills the rock.
Okay. Whatever, guys.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, I would like to talk to you guys in a closed session on some personnel issues. Can I get a motion to go into closed session?
Can I ask you a quick question first before y'all leave the room? Regarding P&Z tomorrow night, and you've asked us to look at the modification to 19-80 regarding the setback for all the town buildings?
We didn't ask you to do that.
Yeah.
No, the council did not ask you to do that.
Yeah, we did. Setback for what?
The setback for the new fire station.
Yeah.
Oh, that. I thought you were talking about the setbacks throughout the town.
Yeah. John brought that up.
Yeah, John brought it up and said we needed
to
make a change.
If we came back to you and rather make a blanket statement that all town buildings can have a setback waiver, if we just, in this case, said the new fire station can have a setback waiver, and then we would continue to look at other buildings as they got modified.
Town buildings.
Yeah, town buildings.
Well, that's your recommendation. Yeah.
Well,
that's your recommendation?
No, we haven't met yet.
I know, but that would be your recommendation.
He wants to say all town buildings as opposed to just the new fire station.
He wants to say the fire station and not all buildings.
I want to have that option. And if you tell me right here, either come with it or not, we'll do it.
Why don't you bring us both of them and let us look
well,
at
it,
them.
Well, it's going to have to be a recommendation.
It's a recommendation.
Well, we'll recommend one.
So John,
tell us which one is your number one recommendation.
We should let David talk.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I will speak for the rest of the Mr. John. I appreciate the question. From my perspective, I expect C&Z to treat all town buildings as all town buildings, but if you need to split it up in your discussion, I'm fine with that. Because in the end, council can overrule you.
Sure.
From my perspective, the setbacks are set for fire safety. The town's buildings will take that into account, and as far as I'm concerned, all of our buildings should be able to do whatever we need to do, so the building inspector will approve them. But I'm okay with P&Z doing whatever your discussion leads. So from my perspective, you guys can talk about it, and you should independently talk about it, but council will address this, because the great thing about being council is we get to be the final say. So I encourage you to talk about it however you want to. Council at the end will make our decision if we need to. And my input to my other commissioners is all of our buildings can do whatever we need them to do, and we will account for fire safety however we need to. So that's my opinion.
Well, I have been told that we are going to have a disgruntled member of the community come and make
that.
One?
Is that all?
I mean, listen, I know several I can send to.
Is there a right to say, make his point or her point?
That's
right. To make
okay.
Point?
Okay.
It doesn't mean we shouldn't do what we do.
Yeah.
Y'all are the final authority.
Well,
no argument there.
Give us your favorite recommendation and reasons why.
Oh, we always do that too.
Okay. Okay, do I hear a motion?
Motion to close
that. What's the reason for the
personnel? We never elaborate until we're finished. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Aye.
And I'll give you like a